You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build the social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I have Roma Baja Kali here with me. Now, Roma is a life coach and motivational speaker at wellnessbyroma.com. She's the founder of the Awakened Mind Method, which is an 8-week transformational program that helps soul-centered women become leaders, master their minds, own their own true power, and awaken their innate intelligence through play. I'm so excited to have Roma here today. We are going to be digging into the topic of fear, and specifically around the idea of how you get over this fear of rejection, especially as an entrepreneur, because it can definitely hold us back in our business and in our lives. So thank you so much for being here today, Roma.
Thank you, Ashley. It was such a pleasure to be here as well.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your story of how you became a life coach and who you like to work with?
Right. So I didn't start as a life coach. I was a fashion apparel designer in my former life. And then the whole evolution of moving with my husband's job and living in 5 different countries across the world just made me uproot and reroute myself over and over again, which kind of led me to this path of becoming a life coach. It felt more in alignment with my soul. Like when I speak, I feel like every single cell in my body comes alive. And there's just a different kind of knowing that this is my soul's calling and purpose. So it did not come right away. It came after almost 8-10 years of searching of what I want to do in my life and who I wanted to be. And the people I work with are, you know, mostly consultants or, you know, women who are actually looking to move to the next level in their life. Because I'm a first generation immigrant to America as well, I work with a lot of first generation immigrant parents as well.
Okay, perfect. So I'm just curious, and I'm sure everyone listening is too, what kind of fashion design were you into?
So I was a fashion apparel designer. Okay. I was a global fashion apparel designer I did various kinds of work, right from sleepwear designing for kids to corporate wear for women to outerwear, denim wear, and accessories for women. And it's just been such a vivid experience because every country I went to and tried to find a job and establish my career there, I had different opportunities for me in every place. I've also done consulting and, you know, catalog designing for Esprit in Switzerland. So it's been very vivid, my whole fashion career. Because of the different places I lived, I created opportunities for myself that were not the mundane things to do. So when I went to London from India for the first time, I was actually heading a corporate wear brand in India. I went back and when I went to London, because I couldn't find work for the longest period of time, I actually started as an intern in a bridal wear company. Okay. So I was doing all the intern work and my husband is like, are you sure you want to do this? I said, yeah, work is work. It's the creative expression of me that I enjoy when I'm doing that kind of work. So it doesn't matter what I do. So I hustled through that. And then I got a position as a denim wear designer in one of the import-export brands in London that were catering for River Island, Topshop, and Zara. So it's been quite a fascinating, I would say, adventure, because there was one point where I tasted entrepreneurship for the first time was when I helped a friend of mine exhibit a line of collections in Pret-a-Porter, Paris. So that was the time when I actually tasted entrepreneurship and what does it feel like to work for your own self, be your own boss. And I think that really left that imprint in me. So when I moved to United States in 2012, I remember not having a work visa and not knowing what I was going to do with my life. And I didn't know indefinitely until when, because I had come here on a dependent visa. And just before that, I was an adjunct faculty, a guest faculty in a very renowned Indian college of fashion apparel design. And I was lost and I was thinking as to what do I do? So I thought of studying in fashion forward, but then I became pregnant with my second child. So my education went out of the window and I was left with doing more in terms of finding what I really want to do. So I stumbled, I became a serial entrepreneur. I tried everything from being an art teacher to selling some protein patties made at home, etc. Like I just tried everything to figure out that I didn't want to do more of that fashion thing, but I wanted to, take that designing and making things aesthetically, visually, physically, like on every dimension of our senses, I wanted things to feel good. And I think just that feeling of making things look good and put them together became the purpose of my life. And I think that's how I evolved all of these years to deepening my practice in yoga, learning how to, I went to an ashram in India for a month. I stayed away from my young kids and everyone. And then was the time I really figured out that I'm a sucker for designing holistic lifestyles for people. So no part of my life was left behind, but rather it all seemed to come together.
Wow. I love how you just put that. Okay. So that's amazing. I love when people know when they've been able to watch and see how their lives have evolved and the dots have connected for them, they can see, because I think in everyone's life, the dots will always connect, but you can't always see it looking forwards. You can always see it looking backwards. And you've obviously found your calling in helping create this aesthetically, not only aesthetically, but holistically pleasing flow and state and helping people achieve that. So I'm really excited to talk to you more about fear and the relationship that fear plays for us, in our businesses and in our lives. So I'm assuming because you work with a lot of, women in leadership and dealing with entrepreneurship quite a bit, how do you see, does fear manifest itself a lot? Like, is this something that's very, very common that you see?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not just for myself, but for my clients as well. Those self-sabotaging spirals of past trauma. Sometimes it comes from our past. Most of the time it comes from beyond our past, beyond this life, even beyond our previous lives. So it's something that none of us can hide from. And I don't know if there is a way one can stop that. But for me, what I realized is that all you can do is learn to embrace it and still show yourself out there, vulnerably and raw, in the most raw and authentic way. Because I feel that that's the job of fear. The job of fear is not just to make you hide and pull you down, but the job of fear is also to check and test at every level that, are you ready? Are you really as ready as you say you are? Are you really as committed as you say you are? It's a way to question you. All my self-doubt, because since childhood, I was bullied in school, sometimes even at home, sometimes in my, the friend circle, outside of school as well, for not being good at academics. Even till date, there would be certain people who would tell my mom as to, how much she has troubled you as a child for your academics, and, give that pity and ridiculous kind of a look. So fear of failure was big for me. And I think it became a part of me for almost 20, 30 years of my life. And I have hidden it. I have tried to hide behind it. I have tried to fight it. I have done everything I can with it. But it was only when I started looking at it not as the sniper over my roof trying to come to kill me, but rather as some other emotion that is trying to help me get into the depths of who I truly am. That was when my relationship with fear of rejection, which is my biggest as well, and most of my clients as well, became smaller than me and became more like, it became like an aid to my healing journey. Whenever it would pop up, that it would pop up in different ways. Some days it would be like, oh my God, you're going to make a fool of yourself if you go out there. So it's not just a fear of rejection, but not being good enough. The fear of perfectionism. Sometimes it would come up as fear of success. You know, it would masquerade itself in so many different ways. But every time that has popped up, I've learned to look at it as something that wants my attention. You know, it's like that two-year-old tantrum throwing child who, if you neglect it, is going to probably throw a bigger tantrum if you walk away. And if you give it too much attention, is going to yell, scream, and probably hurt you as well in that process. So being able to address it on a moment-to-moment basis, on a daily basis, it is what became my practice. And that's what became my journey of healing and overcoming that.
I love how you put that, because I think no matter what level of success that you have, it is a constant relationship and dance with fear. It's not that, you know, you get to a certain level and you're just never going to be rejected. Like one thing that has happened very recently that it sort of reminded me of this is, you know, I'm sure you've heard of Rachel Hollis before. And obviously right now what's going on is very public with her divorce from her husband. And so many people look up to Rachel Hollis and always have. And, you know, you reach that level of success that someone like her has, I think a lot of us just assume that fear of, you know, rejection and all of that will just dissipate. But it's, you know, like I remember reading this comment that was just so ill-placed. And it was something along the lines of like something about her character and like she helps MLM, you know, MLMs anyway, or something like that. And it was just out of ill taste. And I just remember thinking like, it's, you know, reaching a certain level of success, like it's not that fear just doesn't, or rejection and all those things, like, you know, you could read that and that could definitely, you know, set you off. We all have those days, you know, you read something from somebody and you have a choice of where you're going to go with it. Either you're going to also buy into it and believe it, or you're going to decide that, you know, like there is some gift in this and it's up to me to see what is the real message here. So I really like how you put that in embracing the fear and determining what the message is. So one other thing that you had said is when fear appears, like it's coming from somewhere in our lives or past life that it's manifested itself. So what are the ways that you would recommend maybe starting to pay attention? Because I think whenever we can find the source of these things, it's a little bit easier to disempower it and make it smaller, like you said, instead of it feeling it's coming down upon us. When you know where the source is, it's a little bit easier to bring it in close and decide what you'll do with it.
Right. So for me, that's what I teach in my course as well, because I think that there are two, you have to understand where all these kind of fears originate from. So there are different layers of our being, and the most inner one is the soul. But the soul, which is the pure divine soul, is covered by layers of ego, which is the false ego, and then by layers of the mind, the intelligence, and then our physical body. But before our physical body, there's emotions, there's prana. The prana is the vital energy, our emotions, and then comes our physical body. So fear exists on each one of those layers except on the soul. So fear is in our ego, fear is in our mind, fear is in our intelligence, fear is in our emotions, it's in our physical body. So there are many signals. If you learn, why do people say to meditate? It's because you really need to pause and become aware of what is your body trying to tell you. Whenever people say meditation is to shut your mind down, that's BS, because until and unless you are not going to give yourself that attention that you need and that focus, you won't know where fear comes from. And fear comes from many levels, but mainly from the false ego and the mind level. Because our mind is like, imagine it's like a movie screen, like, you know, the computer screen. Mm-hmm. It will pop up. Its job is to keep popping up different kinds of movies. And just like you get pop up from viruses and updates that you put up. But it's your job, just because you cannot minimize a certain window at that time. But where your attention and awareness goes is up to you. That's a choice. So that's the moment-to-moment choice. You know, like that's where you can choose that, okay, this fear that's popping up for me is a long one and I haven't really addressed it. So let me, if you can in that moment, take a break and try to breathe. There is a kind of breath work I teach. It's called alternate nostril breathing. If your viewers will just go search that, they will get a lot of information online on how to do that. But if you can, tap into your breath. But even if you cannot tap into your breath, just take a moment to pause and feel that. Because if, like always, you will reject it, you will numb it, or you will push it away, it's going to come up stronger the next time. Mm. So can you pause in that moment and say, okay, I see it. It's here. Today it's come as a fear of loneliness. Tomorrow it's going to come as a fear of rejection. And whatever that fear has come as, just acknowledge it. It's like somebody came to my house and instead of acknowledging the person when I take their jacket, I am constantly taking care of their jacket, making sure it sits properly, and I'm serving, asking the jacket, what do you want to eat, right? You can't do that. You have to take care of the person who's there. So whichever level the fear is coming from, it doesn't matter. What matters is, are you willing to sit with it? Are you willing to acknowledge it in that moment, no matter how busy you are? Are you willing to address it? And this is when most of the time when I work with high achievers, I see they say they struggle with confidence. They say they struggle with certain ailments that they have developed over the period of time. And that has solely happened because your body and all the layers of you were giving you a signal, were giving you a sign, and you've noticed them. But somehow society has trained us to numb them, because the modern day education system doesn't teach you how to internalize and embrace those emotions. It just teaches you how to do things from the outside. It doesn't teach you how to use that knowledge and convert it into wisdom by taking it out of you. Mm. You know, there is no use of knowledge constantly adding. You know, as an entrepreneur, I remember going through this where I would nonstop go through course after course because I thought I needed to study this. Then I needed to become perfect at email marketing. Then it was social media. Then it was Instagram. Then it was something else. And I went course after course. I didn't make any money and I didn't get my business move forward in 2 years. How much I did in the last 6-8 months, because I think that was the time I decided I'm going to pause and listen. I'm not just going to listen to what everyone else is teaching me and what everyone else on social media is putting out there, but rather I'm going to listen to how I want to be seen. And it's not that big of a deal how some spiritual people make it of, you know, that, oh, you have to tap into your dharma and then X, Y, and Z layers of you to understand your purpose. And so, no, at the end, we are all love. We are all we all want just one thing, is love. And what is the best way you know how to express love? That's your calling. That's your purpose. It's actually as simple as that. For different people, it's in different way. We may all seem like we are targeting different audience, doing different work. But at the core of it, we are all doing one thing. We want to feel belonged and we want to feel love. We want to give that love as well as receive that love. That's all it is about. So I know it sounds easier said than done than someone who's constantly struggling in the spiral of failure and rejection. But I want to say that, pause and ask yourselves, is it true? Is it really as true as you say it is? Like if I'm sitting here right now and I feel that urge of fear, anxiety, I have to look around in my scenario. and look around and say that, is there someone holding a gun on my head right now? No. What I'm feeling right now, is that going to make a difference 5 years from now? If I stop doing what my fear is telling me to stop doing, if that's what I perceive it, then would that matter to me 5 years from now? Yes, it would, because I don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm going to live for 5 years from now. One thing that, you know, people who are obsessed with fear and fear of rejection and perfectionism forget to realize that how mortal we are. You know, we are not guaranteed how long we will live in this life. So we did not come with an expiration date, unfortunately. So we don't know how much time we have, right? So whatever you have is right now, the present moment. So I have worried for the longest time, what's going to be the impact and then the influence I'm going to make on my audience and my people. We all worry about that. But I would say that the amount of impact and influence you can make depends on the amount and the level of awareness and willingness you show to embrace all of you, including that fear. Because when I was going through my spiritual awakening or journey, I realized one thing, that people talk about the mind being the cause of all the bad thoughts, the negative thoughts, the ego being not helpful to us. But for me, until and unless I learned to love them, which is our all true natures, I found a way to love them. I wouldn't have been able to overcome my fear of rejections. I don't think, and I've completely overcome it. I live with it even today, but it lives in a much lesser capacity and quantity today. It doesn't live as much as I have given it room, you know, I would have earlier given it space to rent in my life. I would love to share with you one thing that one of my teachers said, that I was speaking at a confident public speaking platform, and there was this one student who says that, but fear feels like this ghastly, huge, huge demon who's come here to get and suck my soul and take the life out of me. I can't do this. And I was like, and I was listening to that person, and he was a male and he was speaking, and I was feeling what he was feeling. And I realized in that moment that, yes, at so many levels of our life, we all have done that. We have given so much space to rent to fear and negative limited beliefs, that we have not given room for our true nature to shine out. And that is so true. But when I went on stage and I was talking about how to overcome your fear, I gave the example of, As a child, when you look at fear of the unknown, you feel like it's the worst. You imagine it the worst possible thing to be, because you recollect it from all the scariest movies you have seen in your life up until now, and you imagine it to be that bad. But as you approach it, you start seeing that, oh, it's not that big. Oh, it's not that bad. Okay, I'm going. Once you keep walking towards its direction is when you realize. And I remember one day encountering my fear, you know, one of my deepest experiences, it was through meditation. I walked to it and it felt like this huge figure, this figure wearing like a white bed sheet. And when I actually walked to it and unveiled it, it was younger me, who was wearing that white, you know, bed sheet to just scare me. And then I realized that, oh my God, this is all my fears have come from my younger self of being bullied for not being good in my academics. And it was just this little child amplifying it. As I grew, it grew with me, because I didn't know how to address it. I didn't know how to love it. I didn't know how to embrace it. But once I learned it, I realized that, oh, it's just a child trying to tease me and scare me and say, oh, there is a scary monster underneath your bed.
Yeah, it's interesting, because when it comes to, well, a couple of things, like meditation, I think, like, I've had so many experiences through meditation that have like unveiled what is sitting there or helping me visualize the future. Like, I can't say enough great things about meditation and how impactful it is as an entrepreneur. But those fears that we typically have built pathways in our brain that it just is on, like you said, like that computer, that subconscious is just running in the background over and over. And unless you take a moment to stop and pause and really try to understand where it's coming from, it's just running on autopilot without any knowledge of what's really causing it. So I love that. So I want to talk more about, in those moments that you realize there is fear, how would you, if you were to outline like the steps you would take, if you're starting, because we all get that. I remember someone called it resistance. Like you feel this resistance of like it can manifest itself in different ways, but maybe it's like you're afraid to take that next step in your business. You're afraid to invest in yourself, or, you know, you're contemplating if this business is for you anymore. Maybe it comes up as that, but it feels like resistance. Like you can't exactly get your actions to follow with where you, you know, feel like you might need to go. So what would be the steps you would take when that comes up? Like, would you start with, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to do my, like, I'm going to tune in to what it is. And then I'm going to do my breathing. Like, what would be the steps you would advise taking?
So there are a few ways I would say for different people. I teach that in my program, and I think it's a highly customizable thing. Mm-hmm. But I would still share a very simple technique that you can, that each one of us can use. One is, fear manifests as anger and frustration as well. So when you are feeling that, understanding what is your love language is very important. Like for a lot of people, when you read about anger management, people talk about how to breathe. For me, as much as, you know, I'm a sucker for breath work, and that's one of the most important tools I teach my clients. But I would say that it never worked for me when I was angry, because my love language is physical touch. And until and unless I have, like I tell my kids, mostly when I'm losing it on them, I tell them, whenever you see me getting mad and irritated, please come and give me a hug. Because that then reminds me I'm loved, and it brings me back to that emotion of love. So number one thing is, we have to remember, what is it that reminds us of love and that reminds us of our true self? Is it a picture for you? Is it when you pause and breathe? Is it when you, you know, you look at something pleasant? What is it in your environment, in your physical space, that you need to create or have constantly with you that reminds you of that feeling of love, that you are loved and you are love, you know? And then I would say that whenever you are feeling that fear, and you suppose you felt it, you are outside and you don't have any of your home environment with you, you don't have anyone you love next to you who understands you and who can bring you back, then I would say that tune in, just pause. When you feel that emotion, allow it to happen and really pause whatever you are doing right now and address that fear and ask yourself this question: is this true? And even if your answer may be yes, it is, if you are someone who suffers from deep levels of anxiety, I would say, if the immediate answer comes, yes, it is true, then ask yourself over and over again, is this 100% true? Is really what I'm feeling a 100% true, right? And what is going to happen if I believe and give in to you versus what's going to happen if I just continue to keep going? What we don't realize is that we are looking for very life-changing how-tos. And we have already a list of how-tos. You know, to overcome anxiety, there is a 5-4-3-2-1 method, which is 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can, you know, it's using all your senses that brings you back together. So there are a lot of how-tos out there. But for me, what's important is getting to the root of why do I feel that anxiety? And it's usually one or maximum 2 reasons that create that level of anxiousness and fear and that paralyzing disbelief in yourself and your actions. There are just 1 or 2 of the core beliefs that always keep us stuck and don't allow us to live our best life yet. But I think all of that can dissipate when you bring entire awareness, all of your senses, in this present moment. Ask yourself, what is it that I am tasting right now? What is it that I can smell right now? The minute you move your senses away from that imaginary fear to the present moment, you will quickly see, just like that popped up champagne bottle, you will see like how the fear will start dissipating and it will not be that aggressively overflowing. Rather, it will find its way to come back into that bottle and stay calm and still. I hope that was helpful.
Yeah. I think the one other question I have is around the connection between breath work and meditation and why these are such effective tools.
Yeah. So the most important thing is, what is meditation? Meditation is you are offering, the calmness and stillness of your being in the fire of chaos and noise. Okay. So that is meditation. And now, how is breathwork related? So, you know, when I first started doing yoga, it was mostly in the East here when I came to US. So what I really thought yoga was all about physical body work, exercise, but it was completely flipped head over heels for me when I went to India and I studied the traditional philosophy of yoga and the way and the lifestyle of yoga. So for me, breath work is very important because when you are trying to sit still, even though you have created a safe and concentrated space for you to stay calm and quiet, but what happens in that moment is your mind, your emotions, and your ego, which is not used to being quiet, or actually which is not used to being heard, by when your full awareness and attention is there, tries to start jumping up. So what breath work does is a deeper level of stillness it can bring within you. And especially, we have to understand this one thing. Our left nostril is the moon nostril in our body and the right is the sun. So it's the cooling and the heat. So that is what is imbalanced in each one of us, because of which either we have too much heat or we have too much coolness in our body. Because of that imbalance, we have all these emotional, mental imbalances. So through breath work, you get to access not just your breath, but also your only eyes inwards. I feel like our breath are our eyes inwards. And when we actually work with our breath work, we actually use to balance our emotions and our energy inside. And that's when you are able to manage that, you can then be calm and still in any moment. You can become actually very in alignment with yourself when you are, you know, when you have that access and that alignment with your breath. So for me, literally, when I teach to my students breath work, I tell them, like, your breath is your x-ray inwards to have access to what's happening inside of me. Which part of my body do I feel tension? And what is that tension? And really call on to that.
And then I think this just sort of falls naturally with it. I just want to take a moment to talk about yoga and how you feel like the lifestyle of yoga has been helpful in your journey.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I started doing yoga just as a way to overcome my postpartum depression after my second child. And I felt it was healing me. But what I realized is that yoga offers a lot of tools, like physical body exercises called asana, then breath work called pranayama. But beyond asana, breath work, and, you know, meditation, there are different levels of meditation that yoga offers. But for me, I think that yoga became my way of being. It became my lifestyle, because all the answers of what should I do, what should I eat, how should I be, what should I be thinking, came to me through yoga. Because when you actually study the eight limbs of yoga, that's how the yoga was written. It's written by a sage called Patanjali, and he has written the Yoga Sutras. There are many sutras, but there are eight stages that he suggests each one of us to go through. And he says that first, we have to become socially make ourselves conducive. So there are certain principles and values and ethics you need to follow under the social order. Then comes the self-discipline part, where there are certain, you know, systems and disciplines and rituals and practice you should have in place for making sure that you are constantly in alignment with your highest truth. Then he talks about the physical body exercise, which is asana. Then he talks about breath work. And then he talks about, after you have come through these first four stages, he talks about how do you withdraw and detach from your senses. Because look, all those four levels are how to stay entangled, how to stay not entangled, but rather in alignment with the external, you know, ways of life. But then the rest four are all about how to become detached and go deeper into your own self within. So he talks about in the fifth one, which is pratyahar, which is he talks about how to overcome, go beyond your senses, withdraw your senses from external and put them to internal use. And then after the fifth one, the last three are the levels of meditation, are of how you can go deeper into your practice of meditating and how can you just become one with that divine within you and stay in that oneness 24/7.
Okay. And if someone wanted to learn more about these eight stages, what would you recommend that they read or look up or research more?
Yeah, there is a very popular book written by one of the yogis called Iyengar, BKS Iyengar. His book about light on the Yoga Sutras is one of the best books that talk about all these eight stages in detail. It is like the old ancient Indian wisdom, very apt for the modern day lifestyle. And, you know, that is what my course, The Awakened Mind Method, you know, strives to teach, is that there is so much wisdom in our ancient knowledge and, you know, ways of life, that if we bought even few of those elements in our modern day lifestyle, we would be so much more happier and joyful and so much more open and receiving than we are today.
Love it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Roma. You've provided us with just a ton of different resources. What's the best way for people to find you or follow you?
Yeah, it's on wellnessbyroma.com, my website, as well as Wellness by Roma on Instagram, and by my first name, Roma Bajaj Kohli, on Facebook.
Perfect. And can you spell that just to make sure people can find you?
So it's WellnessByRoma on Instagram, and Roma, Roma, Bajaj, Bajaj, Kohli, Kohli.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Roma. I really, really appreciate your time today. And yeah, just really walking us through how we can be at peace with our fear and start to learn from it.
Thank you.
It was
a pleasure.
Starting a business isn't easy, and continuing on that path to building a business can feel really trying at times, especially if confidence or the fear of rejection or being scared of what others may think, or maybe you've had your fair share of no's or people telling you what you're doing might be a scam. If you have experienced any of those things, then you are definitely an entrepreneur. And one of the things that I've learned about entrepreneurship is that my level of confidence is directly related to how far I've been able to go in my business and the goals that I've been able to achieve. And so I've put together a three-day mini-series, How to Get Confident in 3 Days. It's a free three-day series that's going to run you through the main tools that I have found to be so helpful in growing my business. I'd love for you to get your copy by going to ashleyshaw.ca/getconfident. That's ashleyshaw.ca/getconfident, and you will get 3 days of how to get confident and what tools you need to feel like your best self in your business. We'll see you next time on Social Selling Simplified.